We want to measure also how the waves in the brain changes while meditative sacred sexuality. So we started first with a thermocamera captured film, and it is in development. It means it's the first shoot, and in January we will have a second shoot, and we'll work together with some doctors and some scientists who will measure such secret and mystical things like changes in the body and in the mind while ritualistical sexuality. I write two or three pages that I want to read first for you, and after it start the film and give you a nice documentation about it, what the different ritualistical parts mean. Because if you are looking for a tantric ritual, it can be really boring. For example, somebody is sitting on the front of each other for 20 minutes and just meditating, and you are looking at it, you don't see anything, but in the mind there is happening a lot. And there are a few visualizations, techniques, how you can get into deeper parts of your consciousness, how you can get into the subconscious. And as we know, since Freud, the subconscious is not only a individual subconscious, but the subconscious is connected with the collective subconscious. And so you get pictures that you don't get in normal state of consciousness, what you get in the tantric sexuality. And it is a possibility to reflect about your own self, not about the other, but about your own self. And tantric sexuality is like, you know, just do an act, and after it, reflect about it and reflect about your own conditions, what actually mean hacking your own conditions, hacking your own mind. We all are conditioned in a 2000-year tradition that we try to overcome since about 100 years, but we actually are not so playful with the techniques. And we have the possibility to use our sexual heritage, and Tantra is a part of our sexual heritage, and they had a completely different approach, a more playful approach to sexuality than we have. And they doesn't have the, I mean, in the early times of Tantra, not in the times of Tantra in the 15th century, because the blooming, the blossoming time of Tantra was between the 6th and between the 12th century. After it, it turned into a practice that was a little bit influenced by patriarchal thoughts. But before it, it was coming from a matriarchy, and it shows an integrative way for your sexuality. So first I will give you an overview about what Tantra and what tantric sexuality is. When I am introducing myself as a tantric, there are two questions that I always get. Firstly, what is Tantra? And secondly, what is tantric sexuality? So I have been prepared for answering these questions before you can actually ask me. To answer the first question, I was looking for a long time for a real fitting answer. So at the end, I decided on the following definition. Tantra is a psychophysical way of experiencing the self. When I say this sentence, everybody just looks at me like I was speaking like an alien. So then I started to say that Tantra is a spiritual path developed in ancient India. The roots are 3,000 years before Christ. In fact, some scientists say it is 8,000 years old. It contains elements of meditation, yoga, ritual, ethics, art, architecture, mathematics, astrology, and so on. I mean, it is a whole concept about how to live together. The blossoming of Tantra was between the 5th and the 12th centuries in India. And actually, our knowledge about the roots, the spread, and the history are sketchy. That is because the old tantric scripts are often speaking a metaphorical language. Therefore, it is complicated to understand the real meaning of the sutras. The sutras are the tantric books about the sacred knowledge. One more aspect is that in the time of the sultans of the Delhi, of the Mughal Empire, of the British regime, the society was not really open to the tantric culture. As a result, a lot of temples, sculptures, and scriptures were destroyed. Tantra survived mostly in Hinduistic, Buddhistic, and Taoistic context, mostly at the periphery, at the Indian subcontinent, and in little villages in the south, in remote monasteries, in the forest, as well as in the mountains of the Himalaya. And if we are using tantric techniques, we just have to take the techniques out of this religious context, because we are living in a completely different society. So if you see some ritualistical parts, please understand that it is in a context of how it grows. Western travelers, scientific researchers, and spiritual adventurers brought the tantric knowledge at the beginning of the 19th century to the West. At the beginning of the 20th century, some individualists who were interested in mysticism, spirituality, and alternative forms of living published a few books about Tantra and the rituals of tantric initiation. In the public consciousness, Tantra has become increasingly attractive since the 1960s. In the West, it is not surprising, the sexual aspect was highlighted because our culture ignored the cultivation of sexuality for 2,000 years. I mean, we weren't really playful with our sexual energies. The culture and cultivation of sexuality, the development of different orientations of sexuality, and the rich variety of playful game of sensuality could not be developed and expressed openly because it was mostly hidden. So now we come to the question, what is tantric sexuality about? Including the sexuality as a part of a holistic way of life is the norm in tantric philosophy. To use the vehicle of the desires for enlightenment and insight is an integral part of the tantric approach. To eliminate the difference between subject and object, what is actually an old philosophical question, to bring together the viewer, the observer, and the object that he or she is observing. And there is also part of the sexuality to get into this oneness. To eliminate the difference between subject and object, what is created in the mind, if the mind is used in the everyday life, is also an aim of the conscious use of applied sexuality in Tantra. Different techniques of meditation have the same aim. To be one, object and subject become one. But sacred sexuality can reach this state of consciousness more quickly. I mean, if you are working just with Dzogchen or some different meditation techniques, the aim of it is just lose your feeling of individual being and go into a universal being. And if you use the energy of sexuality, it goes much more quickly. Actually, everybody knows it in the moments of pleasure, just don't feel parted from each other. And that is the same aim what meditation wants to have. Unfortunately, the religions are very, very not open-minded, but that is not inherent of the religions. It came with the overcoming of the patriarchy. Before, in the religious, sexuality was a part and cultivated, playful game to be just in a holistic life, to reach our whole potential, actually. Different techniques of meditation have the same aim, but sacred sexuality can reach this state of consciousness more quickly. The divine consciousness, I know it sounds, because of our Christian culture, divine consciousness sounds so old-fashioned. That's why I just want to say what that is mean, which simply means the identification with the whole universe, and the identification means also the responsibility for everything we get in touch with, including getting in touch with people, nature, etc. And that are really actual topics, because of our identification just with ourselves or with our subculture or whatever, we don't have the identification for get into responsibility for the place we are living, for the people they are living with us, and for people they are probably in different subcultures than we are. It means our everyday responsibility to live together in a constructive way. Tantra is the way of applied humanity and applied sexuality and sensuality and joy in every situation of life, not only in the ritual or hidden places out of the world. In Tantra, sexuality is also a generator for more energy in life. This energy that is generated in the ritual is used for the realization of our desires. You will see at the end of the ritual is not an orgasm, but at the end of the ritual is a is a channeling of the energy and between two mantras to say what for I want to use the energy. For example, the mantra is Anayataun. That's an old Buddhistic tantra. It means energy, come here. Anayataun. And I was saying at the ritual, I am a successful and happy and good artist. Anayataun. Anayataun. I am a successful, happy and good artist. Anayataun. And if you are in this deep consciousness, in this deep openness of sexual pleasure, your subconscious really realizes your wishes and direct you in the normal life when you are not so much connected to your subconscious with this approach that you were telling to your subconscious in the highly energized state of sexual pleasure. So, in Tantra, sexuality is also a generator for more energy in life. This energy that is generated in the ritual is used for the realization of our desires. At this point, the tantric ethic plays a prominent role because the most important desire is to live an understanding, harmony, tolerance, bliss, and bliss in society. It means the last wish is always, I am a loving part of the universe. You can say 6 times your own wish, and the 7 times is just get in touch with an universal harmonizing aspect. Tantra is very open-hearted to different sexual orientations and points out the bisexual nature of human beings. We are familiar with this thesis in the Western psychology since Sigmund Freud. Tantra means we have to develop the female and the male parts on every level of our personality to reach our whole potential. The ritual, it was recorded, is between a man and a woman, but it is also possible between two men or two women or two two women and one man, or between seven couples. It's called chakra puja, and the energy is higher if there are more people involved in the ritual. Actually, tantric rituals only between two people are not usual. Usually, there are always more couples involved in a ritual because of the equalizing of the energy between the people, and because of the multiplicity of differences. And the multiplicity of differences generates more energy than only two different persons with two different energies. And the chakra puja is something that was also taught by the Dalai Lama. Actually, he teaches only the first 2 days of the chakra puja, because I think in Tibet they have to be very careful how to speak about their own religion. But Tibetan Buddhism is tantric Buddhism. So, tantric sexuality is a strongly structured ritual. At the same time, it develops a deep understanding for each other, a sensitive slowness, breaking of taboos, and in fact, a celebration of taboos. To put another way, it is about the generating and the channeling of energy, of the life force, to transform the sexual energy and use it for making art, for intellectual work, to harmonize our opposing sides and energize ourselves with the ultimate aim of just experiencing how shiny and delightful life can be. When I did my Tantra teacher training, at the end of the rituals, when the channeling of the energy was done and you have 1 hour break and you don't speak to each other and just take a few fruits and just being in the same feeling like in the ritual, after 1 hour, we always get our teacher was asking us, for example, to write a poem or to paint a picture. Just use the energy that you were generating with the sexuality for your creativity, for your potential, that you can experience that your sexuality is not a part of yourself that is existing somewhere, cut it off of you, but it is in connection with every other potentials of you. Because I am always asked about the sexual rituals, I decided to record a film about it with a thermal imaging camera. Thermal imaging cameras measure the heat of the body, of the air, of the objects in the room. So I anticipate it can show a completely new aesthetic and reality about sexuality than we are used to. Some changes in the body are measurable, many others are not. All the unusual positions during a ritual union, which require a large amount of body suppleness and an intense practice of yoga, are recorded. The bodies and the sexuality are painted in the shifting color of the thermal imaging camera, and another reality is made visible. Because there are no measuring instruments for the metaphysics of the psyche, we measure the physical reactions. The temperature of different parts of the body changes as a natural reaction during the union. Also, the ritualistic part of the union is recorded. The tantric ritual we have recorded took 4 hours. So I cut a short version of 50 minutes. I mean, a 4 hours ritual is really a very short ritual. Normally you have a 7 days ritual where you are cleaning your own energetical channels, where you are into orgiastic practices, where you are allowed to try all your desires, what you have in sexuality. Just don't go into the ritual so that you are sexual hungry. I mean, it is not only for fulfillment. The fulfillment, you get it before, and this is only the game after it. So we had to cut the material because, for example, at the beginning there is a long meditation. It can be boring for the audience to look at two sitting people in a yoga position who don't do anything for more than 20 minutes. You will see in the film a lot of ritualistical parts. Rituals are important because the soul understands the language of the rituals much easier than intellectual descriptions. In a ritual, everybody feels if the partner mentally really opens up or not. You will also see different positions that you probably know from Kama Sutra illustrations. It needs a little time to get the body in these positions. For example, sexual stimulation while doing a headstand. It has a special effect on the energy flow on the body, especially of the pineal gland. I will explain it later what energetical effect it has if you are stimulated while standing in the headstand. It is possible also for men and for women. And you know, the old question, who is on the top, is completely negated in Tantra, because you have so many positions, so many positions, they are really forcing you that to be on top is just one possibility. Actually, in tantric rituals, women never lie on their back, because the energy doesn't flow so nice and so quickly if the woman is lying on the back. Women are always sitting or standing or in the headstand even. So, I think we will start the film. Yes. First, you see that they are making some mudras. Mudras are gestures, and they are also singing while doing the mudras and invoking Shiva. Shiva is standing for the consciousness. The old tantric teachings say that the universe is about male and female parts, and this male and female parts, Shiva and Shakti, are the whole time in unity. They have the whole time pleasure and sexuality, and from this sexuality the whole universe is created. Shiva get the part of the consciousness, that couldn't create anything. It needs the strengths and abilities of Shakti, of the female energy, that is actually the creating energy of the universe. And everything that you are seeing, every materialistical but also not non-materialistical things like thoughts or feelings, are the creations of Shakti, of the female part. Now you see there are five different taboos in the Hinduistic religion. They are broken: to drink wine, but that is not a normal wine. It is about made of 12 herbal flowers or plants, and there is like a little bit like a drug actually, and an aphrodisiac. And after it, to eat meat, what is in a vegetarian context a breaking of a taboo, to eat fish, and sexual intercourse naturally, what also in a ritualistical and spiritual context, taboo breaking. After this, there is a fire ritual. Both are saying, for the duration of the ritual, I am leaving my social bondages. It means if I have a girlfriend, if I have a boyfriend, if I have a son, I don't think about it. I am in an isolated ritual to experiencing wild sexual pleasure, some spiritual levels of consciousness. And so it is no problem if I am in a relationship. The ritual is something else. The ritual is not about relationship. The ritual is about experience. Both have the possibility to say, while the fire ritual, I am burning my fears, I am burning the thoughts of my family, I am burning in this fire every insecureness. And after this, just take from the fire the energy. And then they are invoking the old tantric masters, and they own super conscious. I mean, that probably sounds like black magic, but it is actually what I was telling you before about it, that the soul is understanding more the language of the rituals than every intellectual description. Now they are sitting in the front of each other and getting connected to their inner master. It means, in the old tantric language, in the inner master, in modern scientific language, you would say they are getting contacted to their superconscious. Because tantra is always about to be conscious. I am doing something, and I am doing something because I am deciding to do this taboo breaking or this sexual intercourse or whatever. And they both know before how the ritual will run. It's our ritual was written on 7 pages before, and we were speaking about it. And the rituals are always with a ritual leader who is sitting outside and who is giving the signs with a gong. Now meditation of the inner master, now fire ritual, now sexual intercourse, now whatever. So both are prostrating for the universal female and for the universal male. It means he is prostrating for her, but he is prostrating also in general for the feminine, not only for her femininity or for her as a person. There are some points on the ankles. They are energetically important points to move the energy upwards and to get the energy from the earth and to move your own energy from your genital into the vertebra and into your brain. That's why first the prostrating and the stimulation of the feet. Now she is doing the same. And first she is starting with a rosebud and taking the plates from the rosebud and giving the plates on his feet. You can see it also today in Hinduistical rituals. In normal everyday Hinduism, they use a lot of flowers. They use glands of flowers and they use plates of flowers. But actually, in tantric context, you prostrate for the body like a holding instrument of the soul and of the self. And now he takes a rosebud and he gives the plates on her neck and on her back. And that is just to show that you are respecting the person and that you are respecting the male and the female energies. They will connected in the ritual. And I mean, if the ritual is done by two men or two women, inside a man and inside a woman, there are also female and also male parts. It means you are connecting not only the female and male energies between two persons, but you are connecting also the female and male energies inside of yourself to use your whole potential. Not only the conditioned female potentials or only the conditioned male potentials of yourself. And now is a ritualistical part where you can see some visualization. Actually, you can't see anything. If you would see it, if you would know how the ritual runs, then you would see what happens. So I will explain you. He's taking pigment with red color, dipping his the middle finger of his right hand into this powder, and then he's sitting on the front of her. And now he's looking into her eyes and looking into and through her eyes. At the same moment, he does mentally open his genital and have the feeling that he is going into and through her. And after this, he starts with the visualization of all the female persons he has get in touch in his life. It means there is, she is sitting here and he is visualizing a chain of women on the back of her until he is getting into his childhood and the subconscious giving you the pictures of the persons you were getting in touch while your life. And he is visualizing the female persons of the back of her until he is getting into his childhood and until he is getting to his mother, and then he's looking through the eyes of his mother and feeling with his genital going into his mother and then on the back of the mother get in touch into the absolute infinite. And after he is finishing the visualization, she does the same. It means you get conscious about it that even if you are getting into sexual intercourse with one person, in fact, you are getting in touch with your own memories. And not only with your own memories, but also with the memories of the collective subconscious. And this process is helping you to realize that the reality that you think it may be the reality is something illusional and changing reality that is not possible to reach with the mind, but it is possible with to reach with more instinctive and more with techniques that are working with your psyche and with your subconscious. And you see how long this process takes that he is visualizing. And actually, in the tantric rituals, you have a lot of parts. They are just about slowness. Just it, nothing happening, because everything is happening in your brain and in your psyche. And that's why it has to be studied before how the ritual will run. And now she will start the same process. Tantric rituals have one aim. The aim is the awakening of the so-called Kundalini energy. The Kundalini energy is energy is sleeping, is symbolized by a little snake, and this snake is sleeping at the end of the vertebra. Actually, by the man, it is sleeping in the prostata, and by the woman, it is sleeping at the opening of the uterus. And there is psychophysically energy that you can get in touch while sexual intercourse or while you are doing contractions with your pelvic muscles. And you can generate just the energy. And if you know the techniques, you can bring this energy into your vertebra and into the whole body. In Tantra and in yoga, they have some bioenergetically centers. They call them chakras, and the chakras are at the same point where our medicine found the endocrinal glands. And the endocrinal glands are hormone producing glands. It means, if I just want to bring it into, I want to bring it to a biologically description, you are generating energy to get activized your hormone producing glands, and you are mixing a cocktail of your own hormones, and these hormones are bringing you into psychedelically experiences. And that is what in a tantric ritual happens. And I was mentioned the little snake that is sleeping at the end of the vertebra, and this little snake, the Kundalini, I mean, they have a very metaphorical language for the energetic of the body. This little snake brings Shakti, the female energy, from the genital into the vertebra and into the brain. And in tantric teachings, they say that in the brain is Shiva, the consciousness, the male part is living. And while tantric ritual, you bring your own female energy into the brain, and this creating energy have sexual intercourse with your consciousness. And that's the aim of the tantric ritual, that Shiva and Shakti, your own female and male potential, can get into touch and can bring your potential to more activation.
I have one question.
Yes. Actually, the oldest teachings are 3,000 years old. And there is spread.
What I mean is, like, did it, like, in a certain way develop? So is there, like, a history?
Yes. Okay. Only in India, in Hindu Tantra, there are 150 different directions. And it includes from black magic until tantric rituals, they don't have any sexual intercourse. There is a variety of tantric knowledge, like, I don't know, like the Christian sects, like in Christianity. You can compare the Benedict sect of Christianity with the...
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I am teaching, and that what I was learning is actually new Tantra. It means in the 60s, Tantra was brought in, actually at the beginning of the 20th century, Tantra was brought to the West. And in the 60s, it spread out. And also bioenergetic and Wilhelm Reich and Sigmund Freud and all the psychologically methods that we developed in West are mixed up with the old tantric ritualistical methods. What you were showing is the transformation of the body. He was prostrating for her head and was telling her, I prostrate for your head is the head of Shakti. I prostrate for your eyes are the eyes of Shakti. I prostrate for your lips are the lips of Shakti. It means the individual body is transformed into a divine body. It means, I was telling you at the beginning that divinity means to associate myself with the whole universe. And here she is associated with the whole female part of the universe. She is just some avatar of the female part of the universe, and he also. And now he's transforming her yoni. Yoni means the female genital. And after it, he's transforming her anus into the divine anus. I mean, every part of the human body and every function of the human body is in Tantra turned into divinity. And just to make it conscious, they do the ritual. And now he is telling her, your body and your soul and your consciousness are the body, the soul, and the consciousness of Shakti. I am ready to give pleasure for me and for you. It would be interesting to measure also what happens in the brain, which parts of the brain are turned on while somebody has the feeling to go into universal consciousness. It will take a few months or probably years to do the project completely, that you really can see what is the difference between normal sexuality and what is the difference between conscious and spiritual sexuality. Now she is transforming his linga. Linga means the male genital in India. In Tantra, but generally in India also. In India, you don't have in the temples crosses on the wall, but you have the Shiva linga, and the Shiva linga is like a sculpture. It is a male and a female genital in the unity, and every Hinduistic house has a Shiva linga and worships it every day. It means they give butter on it, or they give flowers on it, or they give incenses around the Shiva linga. They, it doesn't mean that all the people in India are tantric, because the tantric tradition was forbidden and has to live hided. But they have in the everyday life, probably not consciously, some ritualistical tools they use, they are showing if somebody knows about Tantra that it was once a spiritual pathway that included the whole society. Now it's completely different because the Victorian English morality and the Muslim influences of the Indian society are not really happy about worshipping sexuality in spiritual context. Now you can see how she takes his clothes. Actually, in normal Hinduistic marriages, there are seven circles. They are going around the fire. And now you can see some Kama Sutra-like positions. That's called the cobra. There is a high pressure on this part of the body. It activates the part where the Kundalini energy is sleeping in the body. And while you are kissing, the hormones are changed between the two persons. I mean, you change your cocktails with each other. And after it, he is going into the camel. It is also a position for the vertebra. We know all these positions from Hatha Yoga. And Hatha Yoga was a part of the tantric tradition. In yoga schools, naturally, it isn't taught that if you are using these positions while sexual intercourse, the effect of the body of the positions is pretty higher than without sexual intercourse. And now she is going on the way of the vertebra and kissing him and activates all the chakras, all the centers. The centers are Muladhara. I was telling you that the Kundalini snake, the Shakti, is sleeping there. Then it's the sexual chakra. After it is the Manipura. It's around your belly, on the height of your belly. It is for strength. Then Anahata, it is for the loving energy, Vishuddhi, it means your communication, and then Ajna for your intuition, and then over your head, you have also a chakra that is not in your body, but outside of your body. That is Sahasrar, and this is the chakra, it's connected with the universal consciousness. And now he is going into the shoulder stand. It is a pressure on the thymus gland. And while he gets stimulated orally, has the pressure on the thymus gland. And so the effect of the shoulder stand is bigger than if you just would do it in yoga. To get the positions, it takes about 1 year that you, I mean the shoulder stand, everybody can do it, but if you get stimulated in the headstand, you have to be really good in yoga. I mean, it takes 1 year that you can stand in the headstand and be really stable. And also the blood is going into the lower parts of the body. And so is the effect bigger. Now you can see her, how she's going into the headstand. and get stimulated while she is standing in the headstand. It is a very, very refreshing position. And it is also nice for the woman that she can lie her legs on his back and just don't be able to do anything, and so to be passive in a very pleasured way. And you can also see here her neck and her head. It is turning into white. Here is a scale. You can see where the coldest and where the hottest parts of the room and of the body are. And you see that the hottest parts in this case, in her body, are at the yoni, at the female genital, also at the heart, and in the neck and in the head. It is a completely different feeling than we are used to bisexuality, because we are used to do sexuality in a more quick and in a more pressing way. And in this case you have time and you can just celebrate your pleasure. And now you see the first unity position. There is a very common position in Tantra. The name of it is Yabhyum, father and mother, and it means the cosmic father and the cosmic mother, and they are in this position. There is just first just to be introduced to each other. And while doing the movements, they are also contracting with the genitals. And so it has a bigger effect than just only go in and out and in and out. It is also a combining of the contractions of the male and of the female. The linga is normally, when it is in the vagina, is it not straight, but it is looking like a little bit like a banana, is curved. You can see it. It was captured with a magnet resonance equipment in a hospital, and you can see that the linga ends completely its form, and it gives a nice stimulation for the G point while sexual intercourse, and it is by everybody the same. Now you see a breath technique. Annelie was mentioning that if people are living together for longer time, the breath is in harmony with each other, and they are now doing consciously the harmonizing of the breath. It means she breathes out, he breathes in the air what she breathes out, bring the energy into his linga, and then send the energy and give the energy into her yoni. She gets the energy and then breathes in and breathes out and send the energy to her. And so there is a circulation between the two. That's why it is so slowly, because they just try to be completely in harmony, just get this circle. And this technique is where you have the feeling that the colors of the room start to change. You see everything in yellow or everything in pink or everything in blue. You have some perceptions of the room, like it is curving. You know it from, for example, from LSD experiences, and that's it. What you can get only with breathing and only with the mixing up of your own hormones and generating your own hormones. And if you are watching it, it is nothing happening, but actually they are in this perception of the reality. You can also see how his hand is giving up the energy to her. You will see later when he will take away his hand. You can see how he gave the energy to her. In the ritual, there are also included some parts when both are feeling that the ritual is just, you know, rituals are not only about the frame of the ritual, but rituals are also about how to get creative into this frame. And if they feel that the frame is just too strong, then they can do some, you will see it later, there is a fight between the two, just to shake a little bit the energies, just be again out of this strong ritualistical part into an honest, impulsively part. And after this impulsive part, they can get again into the ritual because the energy is completely different. How much improvisation? Yeah. Now, actually, until this point, not much. Okay? It will come later. In Tantra, if you are learning Tantra, at the beginning, it's important to hold on the ritual. And after it, there is like, you know, there is like to learn a music instrument. There is like to learn to play a guitar. First, you are learning the melodies, and after it, you are able to improvisate. Now you can see, because I was telling you about the channeling of the energy. The channeling of the energy can also happen while the ritual and at the end of the ritual. And now, you see how the genitals are heated up and they feel the energy and they just do this movement to bring the energy into the brain. And you will see later on, he is helping her to channel the energy. He does some movements on the back of her, just bring the energy up. Normally, if the tantric ritual is not between only two people, but between, for example, seven couples, they are sitting in a circle, and there is every second minute, every 20 minute a change. They do the first ritualistical part, and after it, the women are sitting in the circle inside and the men are sitting in the circle outside and the women are changing because of the harmonizing of the energy. And now you can see how he brings up the energy on her back. Actually, the camera has not a high solution, that way you can just a little bit see how it gets more into white color. You can also see that the energy is shown by the thermic changes also. And thermic changes are only one aspect of the body. And now, I was telling you before that there is a more impulsively part, what was actually not part of the ritual. It just happened while the ritual. Because sometimes if you feel just aggression or whatever, you just act in that way. And if you can remember at the beginning, the back of her was completely yellow and green, and now the body is heated up. They just measure each other's energies. And actually, normally, if the ritual takes 7 days, these processes are happening before. You have ecstatic dances, and you have different orgiastical practices. And that's all what you can do before going into the ritual. It is also difficult if there are only two persons in the ritual to bring together the real fitting energies. I mean, in Tantra they say there are fiery and more watery and more earth-like and more air-like energies, and people are related more to earth or more to water or more to fire. In one ritual that I was part of, it were a man and woman together. They were both very fiery, and the woman just ejaculated the whole time. And my tantra teacher was telling me it's because she is trying to eliminate the fire, to bring more calmness into the sexual intercourse, and that's why she has every time the ejaculation, because she wanted to equalize the energies. And now that is actually almost the end of the ritual. Now is the part of the leader of the ritual to stop the ritual at the point where the energy is very high, because then they will do a special mudra, just close the ears, close the eyes, close the nose and close the mouth, breathe in and bring the energy into the brain, and then you see different patterns, colored patterns on the screen before your closing eyes. And when these patterns disappear, you see just a ball or two or three colored circles or color clouds in each other. And you can prove how high the energy is, because if you are saying very bright colors, then the energy is very high. If you are saying dark colors, the energy wasn't very high. There is actually in every ritual a point where the body doesn't move, but the energy moves the bodies. And now you can see that as a this state of the ritual, where the energy moves the bodies. The contractions are happening by self. They doesn't do anything, but the energy leads the whole ritual. And there is also, by multiple orgastic techniques, in the tantric ritual, the man doesn't have to ejaculate, because if he is ejaculating, then the ritual is over. And so they developed a technique to have pleasure without ejaculation. They parted the male orgasm in two parts. One part is the ejaculation, and the second part is the automatically contraction of the muscles around the male genital. And if a tantric is in tantric practice since longer time, he is able to bring this orgastic energy into the whole body. It means the whole body is contracting while getting this parted orgasm without ejaculation. It's a well-known Taoistical praxis. And the woman could have so many orgasms, so many does she want to have. There are actually two different kinds of female orgasm in Tantra. One orgasm is the orgasm where you lose the energy, and one kind of orgasm is the orgasm where you get the energy. And if somebody knows herself, then she avoids energy-taking orgasms, and she doesn't avoid orgasms that they bring her the energy. And now you can see the leader of the ritual was stopping the ritual, and now they are doing the mudra. The mudra is looking like this. While there is a pressure on the eyes, you can see the geometrical patterns. And after you have sewn the geometrical patterns and they disappear, you can see the clouds of the colored clouds and circles in each other. And mostly is a little part, a little point in the middle. They call it Bindu. Bindu is also the name of the sign of the forehead of Hindu woman. Bindu means just seed or point. And this point, the color of this point and the color of the cloud shows you how high the energy was. And now, when they have the feeling to get the energy in the whole body, then they say to the subconscious, anayataun, and then the wish, what they want to have from the ritual. For example, I was telling anayataun, I am a successful and good and happy artist. Anayataun, anayataun, I am a successful and happy and good artist 6 times, and the 7 times, anayataun, I am a loving part of the universe, because you are doing the ritual for yourself, but not only for yourself, but also to get connected with these energies.
So the whole ritual was like 4 hours?
Yes.
And what's like on the 4 hour time scale, where are we now? Like,
it is 3.5.
Okay.
Yes. And after the ritual for 1 hour, the either the leader or the woman or the man are speaking anything, they get something to eat, and they just keep the feeling of the ritual. And after 1 hour, they have a discussion round, and everybody can tell what he was or she was feeling, what was her or his perception in the ritual, in which pictures, into which pictures she or he get, or which memories from the subconscious were coming up. And so there is a reflection, just because in sexuality normally we are thinking, if I felt in this way, my partner felt probably also the same way. And here they have the possibility to speak about it, what actually in the mind of the individual person happened. And now he say thank you to her, and then she say thank you to him. And after it, the ritual is finished.
So, I think questions from the audience.
Yes.
Okay, of course.
I hope that please give the questions slowly that I can answer, because my English is not so good.
Okay.
That's the first.
So I think there are many, many questions from the audience. It's interesting. I saw the Twitter feed, and there is a lot of discussion going on there. And there's the one side who says, oh, that's all pseudoscience and what's going on here, and that's just like mumbo jumbo bullshit. and other people are like completely into it and are asking questions and discussing it and stuff like that. First question here and second question there, okay? Is it possible? Come here, because he was sitting closer, that's what I'm thinking. Could you come here for the microphone? No, I'm talking to you. Because I just wanted to have him as the first question, because he's closer and the microphone cable is not long enough. So, here
I am. Okay. Am I gonna sit down or sit? Okay. Hello, thank you for coming.
Yeah. I'd have to put myself in the middle of the two groups that he just discussed. Like, the words you use, like energy, you're using them in basically two different ways, but you're also combining them. You're saying there's the energy you feel during a sexual ritual.
Yes.
And then there's actual energy we can measure with a camera. So did we learn something about the connection between those two here, or what did we learn?
Actually, that's a pilot project. That's the first shooting. I did the film with a thermo camera, but later we want to measure also the changes of the hormones. It means you have to take blood from the person before the ritual and after the ritual. If you want to measure the waves in the brain, you have to bring some equipment on it. It is only the first pilot project. You can see probably a little bit how they heated up in the ritual.
But you'd have to compare that with a regular, ordinary sexuality.
Yes.
I mean, if I touch this table, you're going to see energy in this table with a thermographic camera. Sorry.
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, I was just saying, if I touch this table, it's going to leave an impression on my hand on the table.
You can see that also in Tantra. I want to capture a normal sexual intercourse, and after it, a tantric sexual intercourse to measure before the normal sexual intercourse how the hormones are in your blood, how are the hormones after the normal sexual intercourse, and then to measure the brains, to measure the heartbeat, whatever.
Okay.
There are a lot of different changes in the body you can measure. It is not the how can I say, the complete project.
Sure.
That's the beginning of it.
Okay, I've been asking some tough questions, maybe some that I hope people in the audience had, but I have to say I'm sympathetic to the project because this form of sexuality doesn't feel like normal sex, and you know this.
It isn't.
I think other people should try this.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Okay. Next. So I think he's who's the next one?
Who's the next one?
Hello. You wanted.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did want to say something. Well, first of all, I learned a lot about Tantra in a very short period of time, so that's very impressive. I wasn't sure how the thermal video was effective because I felt like, I guess I was expecting to see some type of cosmic halo over them as they're exchanging energies back and forth, but we just see them getting really hot, which is fine. But I guess the full description of the ritual of how you become avatars of the deity and you become something greater than yourself and you're worshiping the person that you're with. Now we're lost. Oh, there. Okay. You become something greater and that's fantastic, but then What does the thermal video do? I guess I didn't see where that came in.
The thermal video has to show how the energy grows and how the energy is going into the brain while along the vertebra. And I am sure the thermal imaging cameras are not the best way to show it.
I mean, the question would be, how would a thermal image of like a normal, like a regular sex act compared to a tantric sex act would look like? So would you see, because I think people were expecting like mm-hmm. whatever going on there. And I think of course that's not happening. Mm-hmm. Okay.
In a normal act, I think the whole body, the legs, arms would be yellow and would be green, would stay on the same level of the thermic. That's the difference. That's the difference that you energetize the whole body, or you are just how can I say, more into genital sexuality. Yeah.
Hi. Thanks for showing this. This was great. I'm just curious about how this sort of segues into ritualization that's going on right now. There's a community here in San Francisco and around the world, actually, that's developing a whole bunch of different rituals. And I'm wondering if you have familiarized yourself with some of that and whether there are people that are trying to basically build the equivalent of this tradition, but they're doing it organically now without actually using this as the way to start that. Have you studied or looked at any of the ritualization that's going on now that isn't tantric?
Okay. So I think the basic question would be, there are lots of groups, like even in subcultures and sex communities, who develop their own rituals right now that are not derived from tantra, but different other rituals. Mm-hmm. And if you are familiar with stuff like that, so... Or if you are studying that or something.
No,
or
I am actually only familiar with the tantric rituals. I was learning at there are actually three main directions in tantra: Hindu tantra, Buddhistic tantra, and Taoistic tantra. And the master who was teaching me was involved in Buddhistic tantra. Was learning it at Dharamsala, at the medicine center of the Dalai Lama. And I was learning also from a Bengalese tantric master. It is Hindu tantra, and it is more into black magic because they were using for 100 years also human sacrifices. now they sacrifice only goats. But I don't want to be, there is a huge era, the whole Indian subcontinent has tantric tradition, and you have to be aware which one do you use, because I don't want to give up my critical understanding only because I am doing tantra. There is in Santa Barbara a scientist, David Gordon White, who is teaching and researching about Tantra. That is not so far away from here.
Okay, so. If not, I would say, yeah, a big applause for Monica.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. By the way, come back. Ha 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 ha. Tomorrow is the big workshop day. Oh, yeah. And Monica will actually, so if you're interested, so the one part of the audience who is not like, oh, that's all mumbo jumbo kind of thing, there will be a possibility to do a tantra workshop tomorrow at Noisebridge. So
at
7:30 tomorrow. Yeah. So maybe tell them a little bit what will be happening.
Okay. We will do a multitasking exercise of tantra. It is a ball is between two bodies, and you have to roll the ball so that it doesn't fall down and kiss each other while this. There is just, because in normal sexuality you have to be also more multitasking, and there is an exercise for it. It is take from Kama Sutra. And one other exercise that you have seen on the screen while they are visualizing the chain on the back of each other, that he was looking into her eyes and feeling with the linga into her, and then visualized all of the persons, that all of the women he get in touch or he get influenced by, and so build a chain on the back of her. That will be the second one.
Okay, so
actually, if you are a little bit more advanced, we can do also the headstand and stuff like this.
Okay, so one thing is, I tried to get some yoga mats. So if you want to do it tomorrow, and you should have a yoga mat, please take it with you. Other way, we can just like put some blankets on the floor or something like that. But okay, but we'll still try to find yoga mats. Okay, so thanks, Monica. And we're actually moving on. And the next talk is actually no talk, but a panel, a small panel. And it's called Polyamory and Technology Equals Sexual and Romantic Abundance. Oh, sorry, my English. Okay, so we'll just like set up stage and stuff. So maybe like 2 or 3 minutes of break, of course, get something to drink or have like a headstand in the restroom or something, and be back in 3 or 4 minutes. Then we go on with the next panel.